Hi there, this is Jim the Keys bartender coming to you from a beautiful, partially sunny Key Largo post Memorial Day. If you're not familiar with the Keys Bartender podcast, it's a podcast about bartending and life in general in the Keys. I mean, instead of saying Keys life, because, you know, when I'm talking about Keys life, it may be all I'm doing is fishing. Knocking down coconuts, drinking, paddle boarding, and all those things. But yeah, it's about life in the Keys. And life in the Keys, like any place else where life is, except we're surrounded by iguanas and tropical vegetation. And today, I was considering, and I am going to do, I'm talking about balance today. I want to talk about balance. You ever been to one of those restaurants and bars? You go in there and it's kind of like a health vibe thing. It's only one type of thing you're going to get. And they do fit their genre. You know, you want to have, if you go to a health food restaurant, you want to have healthy food, right? And, but it seems like that'll be it. You're not going to get a bacon double cheeseburger, right? You're going to be getting something like a California plate, no dairy, things like that. Well, for tourists, when you're working in a tourist town, or generally like most people, everyone has diverse likes and dislikes. And earlier today, I had made a quick trip to drop off something for my wife at her place of work. And I had just came back from the gym and I was feeling a little peckish. I was hungry. And the interesting thing for me now is I think about what I'm eating and what I don't eat and what I used to eat all the time. And that has to do with, like, when I go to a place and they say, oh, listen, this has really great healthy food there. And I say, I don't want to hear it. I want to go someplace that doesn't have healthy food, but I'm not necessarily going to order the unhealthy food. I want the option, at least, because I'll do the right thing in the end. If I go to a health food place, that's the only thing I have an option to, so I don't feel excited. But there needs to be a balance, right? There's got to be a balance between what I want, what I desire food-wise, and what I should have. And there should be something in the middle. At least there should be something that attracts me to go there. And the same thing goes for bars and restaurants, right? And I am talking about a bar and restaurants, but this in particular one, but it's just like going to a supermarket. I want to get a hoagie, which is some people call it an Italian hoagie, which some people call it an Italian sub. But I'd have to get a turkey sandwich. Right? And I'm not really that enthused about a turkey sandwich. Not my thing. But there it is. Same thing goes when you go to a restaurant. You're in the Keys, right? Here. And I'm talking about the Keys in particular. But if you were someplace else, like Alaska, near Fairbanks, or Ketchikan, Alaska. Let's Ketchikan, because I have listeners in Ketchikan, Alaska. You have your local favorites and you have the favorites that are outside. So when you go, when I'm talking about balance, you need to balance out your bar menu. Because especially in the Keys, you got to have those tropical drinks. You have to have the pina coladas. You got to have the mojitos, margaritas. Not necessarily daiquiris, but you can have daiquiris, yeah. And all those tropical fruit punches and things like that. Anything with coconut. Rum and things like that. But then people go there and they see all that stuff. They see the mojito, they see the margarita, they see the pina colada. And then I want an old fashioned. I want a Manhattan. I want a martini. I want something else. So there's the balance, because you get one with four people, you're going to have four different wants and desires for people. And that's where you have the balance. And I've said on previous episodes, you can't be everything to everyone, right? But you can cover the biggest bases, not all the bases, the biggest bases. See, when people come down to the Keys, and they want, you figure that they like something about the Keys. If they wanted something they could get at the Arctic Circle, they would go to near the places that serve things like they would at the Arctic Circle, which would be like, I don't know, some moldy fish. What I don't know the drinks are up there, I have to say that. I have a feeling it'd mainly be vodka and some other stuff. So, I mean, some harsh, harshly distilled liquor other than vodka, if there is one. Something that's filtered through the gut of a salmon. No, maybe not that. But yeah, you get my drift right there. If you go to a dude ranch, it's going to be a lot of whiskey and beer, right? You're not going to get pina coladas at a dude ranch. But then again, you might want to have a pina colada when you're at a dude ranch because it should cover your bigger bases. Some people don't like that harsh stuff. So balancing your menu and your drink recipes has a lot of payback, because when I go to a place and I see that, I was mentioned earlier when I'm dropping off the items at my wife's place of work, we're talking about where I want to eat, and someone said, oh, so-and-so, they got a really good veggie pizza. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't want a veggie pizza. I want a pepperoni pizza. Maybe pepperoni sausage, maybe pepperoni, whatever. I want something. And it's very unhealthy. As a matter of fact, it should be giving you a organ donor waiting list card. Yeah, I want to go to a place like that. That it's, you know, this is not the food for you, but this is the food you want. But it's the want part, not the stuff. I'm not talking about healthy and stuff like that, but it's a thing you want. You know, you can have coconut water, wines, all these frou-frou beers and stuff like that. But then there's some people that just want something like a bourbon or a vodka or a gin or an IPA, a hard IPA, a triple Bock. So if you get those two big ends covered, because we are in the tropics, it would be ridiculous. Ridiculous. If you want to serve visitors, for you not to have an offering, a smattering of tropical drinks and not feature them. But on the flip side, I think it's good business to feature things that don't have tropical basis for that. Something for the locals. Something for the people that wanted to come to the Keys but didn't want to drink something in a coconut or something with an umbrella. And that's where I come off with the balance. And balance works. You could do all one thing. But if you do that all one thing, you're going to drive a segment of people away. You want to provide a biggest tent that you can get. Like that yesterday's episode, I mentioned the Mexican flea market. When you went in there, there was practically everything. You know, one of the things I didn't see there, I may have seen a bicycle or two. I may have seen a bicycle or two for sale. Yeah, I did. I did see a bicycle or two for sale. I saw bike tires and all that stuff. I didn't see cars. Which makes sense. Why would you have a bunch of cars for sale at a flea market and stuff like that? But they could have done that. But they had almost everything. And that works for a place like that. But it's unwieldy and huge. So if I was going to go and look for a place to eat, I don't want to go to a place that rivals a super Epcot center where you have all the food in the world. I just need to have diverse choices. Diverse choices. Like today when I was mentioning the foods, they mentioned the pizza and they also mentioned a burrito. And I said, oh, a burrito. And I said, you know, that's not what I was thinking about when I was thinking healthy. And they said, well, I'm thinking a healthy burrito. I don't want a healthy burrito. That's the last thing I want is a healthy burrito. But I won't go there because I can't. I want to get the one with the meat, the cheese, the sour cream, the guacamole, all that stuff. And I like knowing that if they have a healthy burrito, then they got to have an unhealthy one, I hope. And that's the thing that most attracts me. Now, I don't know if that works for the same for everyone. Some people may say, hey, listen, I like not having too many choices. And there is a lot to be said for not having too many choices. But when you know, when it comes to building a bar menu, most people who are going to have more than a few drinks know what kind of drink they're going to have. The first thing I know when I realize someone doesn't have a problem drinker is, let me look at your drink menu. Because a problem drinker never says that. They'll ask you the things, do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this? At most, three items. And some of them, only one item. That's kind of crazy. There's only one item that's going to make you happy. I've had that where people come in and they just say, well, you don't have this bourbon, I'm not going to have bourbon. You don't have this vodka, I'm not going to have vodka. But we have 12 other vodkas. That you can't, like I said, you're not going to make every person of particular taste happy. So coming down to balance, that balance not only works for just bars and restaurants, it also works for life. Now, I've had relatives, I have a major thing in my problem, in my life, where people, and you have too, that they heavily rely on one aspect of their life to define the way they're going to live their life. And in my family, the biggest one, it's not the only one, but the biggest one is religion. And I guess being from the Roman Catholic tradition, there's a lot of leeway with the Roman Catholics in the United States. You got your diehard ones that want the Taliban type Catholics. And then you have people, the sliding scale, the Taliban, let's say Taliban's Catholics on one end. No meat on Fridays during Lent. You don't get in a fight when you're wearing your crucifix. You got to go to confession before you get communion. And then you got on all the way on the other end. Oh, you got to go to church for, the big days and every Sunday and including the big holidays, obviously, and the feast days or saints, and maybe go to two masses a day. And then you can get on a sliding scale, the cafeteria Catholic, which I am kind of, where you show up for most of the big holidays. And I interpose that. I show up every so often to the other ones. And it could put me on the outs with certain people. They say, years ago, when you would go to church, they would just say, you got to do this. You just can't just show up when you want. Well, nowadays, they don't tell you, you just can't show up when you want. They're just alienating. They're bleeding membership. But that's not the point. The point I'm talking about is having a balance. Now, people that live their lives by the dictums of religion or politics or a core belief, they're very, very easily disappointed and very easily upset and not very easily made happy. And it's happiness, a lot of times the happiness is short-lived. You're just waiting for the next effrontery to show up. Whether you say something that they don't like, something they disagree with, it falls apart. And I've been guilty of that before because I live my life. I'm kind of a progressive. And I have members of my family who aren't as progressive. And they march to a beat of a different, I was going to say walk to the beat of a different drummer. I guess that's a lackadaisical way to do it, but I mean, march to a beat of a different drummer. You heard that said before. But there was also something said before. It says, man cannot live by bread alone. So we are entirely way too complex an organism in this universe to live by one thing. One thing that's going to get us through your day, through your life. How do you do it? Really? When you say it, are you going to take affront to everybody that disagrees with you? Everybody that disagrees with your worldview? And you walk down, we're in a multicultural society, whether you like it or not, in the United States. You can live in a community that isn't exposed to a lot of people outside of it. You can live in, let's say, a Hasidic Jewish community or a Muslim community or, let's say, Hispanic or a bunch of white people in a small town where they have the same worldview. But my guess, eventually, you're going to run into people that don't have the same worldview. And that's where the balance comes in, is being able to consider and saying, listen, I'm not, you know, I may believe that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's the only way you're going to be able to go to heaven, and it's the right way to live and stuff like that. But this person over here, they are Jewish, and they don't think that. Now, in your dictums of your religion, if you're diehard and saying, listen, if this person isn't saved, that means you're going to go to hell. And why should I even deal with them? Because we're not going to be dealing with them the same experience. They're not fearing the same thing. So you may choose to disregard the person's wants, needs, views. But if you, with a balanced view of life, you got to say, well, that's their tradition. And one of the things that I found most, for the most people that I admired through the years, they seemed to share a similar quality. And that quality was to be able to be accepting of other people. Now, obviously, there's some views that are hateful and mean-spirited that are really not able to blend. They're oil to everyone else's water, and it just separates. If you got a real, you know, exclusive worldview, it's going to make it really difficult for you to come in agreement with other people. And there are groups like that. That's where cults come around. They say cults and they say, listen, you really can't deal with these people. And when you do deal with them, they're going to try to be ripping you off. So your job is to get one over on them. You certainly can live like that. There were closed communities where people that all they do is prey on everyone around them. Right? Maybe let's call them cults. And they're there for a certain reason. They're not there to make nice with other people. It's more of a closed system. What we want to, I mean, at least what I like, and what I view as more becoming of a social person in the world, is being open to other people. And that's where you have the balanced views. To be able to say, hey, it's a possibility that we could disagree and you still can be a decent person. I can be friends with you, or I can be acquaintances with you, or I can have a friendly conversation with you. That's just the way it is. That's the way, and I'll say this right now, that's the way to live. Because if you're going to be one of those person that just actually shits on other people just for the sake of them not agreeing with you, or the reason for that reason of them not agreeing with you, you're going to lead a very sad and lonely life. So whenever you got that balance, it's like eating healthy. I'm thinking about eating healthy all the time, right? When I had my health incident, I would not care because I thought, I work out a lot. I don't drink. So all the working out I do will definitely balance off the bad things. That's not true. I needed more balance in my life. My more balance in life meant eating more fruits and vegetables, eating less red meat, eating less bacon. And it's just like when I used to be, my one balance in life was the drinking. I could not balance that. I was a heavy drinker. I would just heavily drink to the detriment of my life. If I could learn how to balance it and have a couple, which I tried several times, it just doesn't work for me. Eventually, I would go back to the heavy drinking. So for me, balance was a total, ban on alcohol in my life. And that's my balance. But fishing, down here, Keesley, I know people, they're all about fishing. And now I realize some people are on the spectrum. So there's some people that have Asperger's syndrome. Let's say it's called Asperger's syndrome. It's a mild form of autism. And one of the characteristics of is that if the person who has Asperger's is interested in something, their assumption is that everyone is interested in it. I had a gentleman who used to come to the bar all the time, and he'd go all into deep talking about Miami, the Miami Dolphins, and going really delving in deep to it about their draft choices and management moves and all this stuff. And I'm just going, oh, okay. And I'm just telling the guys, what makes you think I'm particularly interested in that? People that automatically think you're interested in stuff like that. And I've been guilty of that before. Because everyone's saying, well, this is so interesting. Everyone likes that. You know, there's people that say, everyone likes this person. That's not necessarily true. There's nobody out there universally liked. Even God. You know, you figure, God, what a great guy God is. And there'll be someone who says, I don't think so. It's just a rule of thumb. That's the way it happens. And so with fishing, everyone's into fishing. No, there's a lot of people into fishing down here. And when you come up talking to me, tell me about the fish you caught, what you were going out to, just because I live down here doesn't necessarily mean I'm interested in fishing. I've eaten fish. I've caught some fish. I told you about my experiences when I did. I did enjoy fishing. And the way I fish is I would catch the fish. I estimate I would eat that day or the day later, and I wouldn't catch any more fish than that. Because I can only eat fish 3 times in 1 week. That's me. That's all I can get away with without going crazy. It's just too much fish for me. But there's other people, it seems like they can fish all the time, and they can eat fish all the time. For me, I need a little balance. Some people don't need that balance. I understand. You know, if you have that thing, you like model trains. Model trains can be your life, but don't expect other people to be excited about model trains or baseball cards or stuffed animals or Vietnamese cooking. It's all sorts of things out there. People are crazy. And every craze that comes up here for years ago, and it seems like one of the biggest, I would call it craze, but it's almost like a lifestyle. I guess the way it is, yoga. Because yoga is actually meditation. It's an exercise. It is a lifestyle. It's actually an exercise, a lifestyle, a meditation. It's almost like it's not exactly a religion, because you could do this. I guess you could be Jewish and do it and all these other things. But it certainly is encompassing. And it caught on. And some people, when you talk about yoga, you could feel there could be like 5 people talking about yoga together, and you're the one person that's not into yoga or fishing or NASCAR. I'm in a bar. I'm just saying, oh, it's Sunday. What? When's the race on? I say, I have no idea. And when I'm out of work, I'm not studying this schedule to see what it is. I have to be honest with you on another thing, too. The other night, we didn't have a very busy night at the bar. And Miami Heat was playing basketball. I am not terribly a big fan on professional sports teams. I'm not. I am for a certain team, one or two teams, but not for a whole thing of sports. Like I like football, but you know, if my team isn't doing well, I'll just watch the playoffs or watch a game, disinterested in things like that. But I don't delve in any deeper than that. So we're playing in the Miami Heat's in the playoffs, and there's people not drinking at the bar watching the basketball game. And all I have to think is like, oh my God, if they win tonight, I got to go through a bunch of the playoffs. And if people are watching it, it's a playoffs, the Heat's in the playoffs, they're going to stay at the bar to watch the playoffs. Now, on the weekend, it's a lot easier because on the weekdays, it's a lot easier if it's during the night because we close at 9. And if the game's over 11, say, we're not staying open 2 hours. You're going to have to go home and watch the game. Right? I mean, obviously, if it's a game, if it's going to be ending the series, obviously, they'll probably do it. But I am not interested in watching other people. I explained this before. I am not that overly interested in watching other people play sports, play an activity for an amazing amount of money. And yes, they are very talented. I agree they're very talented. Are they worth $25 to $30 to $50 million a year? That's up to you. I do not pay into that. I don't buy any jerseys. I don't buy tickets. I'm not, it's not an embargo. I'm just not one of those things I contribute to. So when I'm done my work, a lot of times I am done talking about this thing. And then when people ask me, because I'm tall, you should like basketball. That's like saying, if I was heavy, I should love Anchors. And that, I'm sure that's not the case, unless you could be a heavy person like Anchors. But just because you share a certain physical characteristic does not mean you would like something that some of the participants share that same physical characteristic. One of the physical characteristics that they don't have anymore is that they're not 60-year-old men. So that's when I'm talking about balance. At the end of the night, I'm done. I'm looking for a little balance. And the only time I've really been overly unenthused about something is when I get overly emphasized into one thing. If I emphasize too much my focus on fitness, that's even podcasting. I guess that could be crazy. We're going to talk about this. I used to talk about that all the time. Oh, I have a podcast. I have a podcast. I'm a podcast. Well, who gives a shit? What is a podcast? My friends like this, you're still doing your blog? I go, oh, well, obviously the person doesn't listen to podcasts because they don't know the difference between a podcast and a blog. Well, that's my problem, not theirs. I shouldn't focus in on that. And that's where I learn from the things I contemplate sometimes. That's it. I say, hey, Jim, you're being a bit of a hypocrite because you do focus on some things a little too much. Well, if you got anything from that, congratulations. Lastly, I had a wonderful conversation with my sister today, and I almost drove off the road. I was driving when I was listening to her ask a question. And do you ever get into conversation with someone and just freewheeling the questions? My sister is an intelligent woman with some interesting ideas and interesting thoughts. And one of the thoughts was, I made fun of it years ago on the podcast. It was about people asking if they could swim under the island. and scuba under the island. And I asked, what do you mean scuba on the island? Can you scuba under the island? I said, you mean through a tunnel under the island? Is there a tunnel? You mean under a bridge? You can do, obviously you can do it under a bridge. No, under the island itself. And I said, well, there's coral and there's the bottom, the part that's attached. Are you suggesting that the island is floating? And my sister asked that question today. And I thought she was joking. And it turned out it was one of those times you ask the questions, you're not even thinking of it. And I've done that before. I've done it without thinking, contemplating the idea where I just ignored the total structure of the universe and I asked a question. You know, you're on a plane. And this happened in, I think, Korea. A guy was uncomfortable on a plane. He opened up. There were 700 feet. There were about less than a minute from landing, the plane was coming in to land, and the guy decided to open one of the exit doors. And it freaked everyone out. This happened in the past week. And if you go and Google it, you hear it happened in Korea. And the guy said he was uncomfortable. He wanted to get a little air, which now he's probably going to end up going to jail for a little time because that's a big no-no. That is a big no-no. We get to speculate. With my sister said that making the mistake about suggesting that islands can float is not as big a mistake as that. But it certainly is interesting. It's like the time I heard on a radio show that a woman asked about, she called in and she was complaining about deer crossing signs. And the guy says, why do you have a complaint about deer crossing signs? And he's thinking that what you want to hit deer or something like that? He didn't say that. She goes, why would they put the deer crossing there? Because it's a very busy area of the highway or the road, and there's less traveled areas or more straightaway areas where, you know, it's more open where you can see further back from the road. And the DJ, the person taking the phone call, wasn't quite getting what the lady was saying. And then finally, after she spoke a little while, he said, are you suggesting that the deer crossing signs are there for the benefit of informing the deer to cross there? And she goes, yes, they put it in a very inopportune, you know, very high traffic area. And the guy was flabbergasted. Just took it. As a matter of fact, I think they have it. I think he may have, it wasn't the kind of show where they would make the most out of it. And I mean, you could have done it because you'd want to have that person on. You want them to have to clarify themselves. Well, what would you suggest? What would you like to do? Maybe you can put an elevator there or a deer crossing walkway or one where a traffic signal where they can touch their hooves to it and they can cross. I mean, I'm surprised the lady didn't say that. Say, well, listen, why don't they put something on there that they can just tap their nose and be a light and then they can cross? That would be the best one. But yeah, I had a lovely conversation with my sister today. And that wasn't the only thing she said. She made something else and another comment, and it just totally blew my circuitry. And I love that stuff. It does make for a lighter, carefree day. Well, that's it for today. I'd like to thank you for listening. I'll be back again, not necessarily tomorrow. I think it'll be Thursday. Thank you for listening, and I'll be right back. And we'll be going to be, oh my God, I can't believe saying, we are going to be emphasizing merchandise on the show, meaning merchandise. We're going to have t-shirts, hats, and my sister's suggesting shot glasses. So, yeah, to go with the non-drinking bartender thing to have shot glasses. But you can shoot anything and you shoot espresso. When I say shoot, I'm not talking about shooting like in a needle. When you shoot something, it's you just here. I don't know why I'm doing it. I'm actually having my hand next to my mouth and I'm pretending to shoot that, taking a shot glass and taking a shot. But yeah, you could do that with espresso or your favorite. A high density fruit drink, right? Whatever. You know, oranges, because it takes one orange to get a shot glass worth of orange juice. Well, that's enough for me now. Have a great day, and I'll be back. Bye.